The Lord of the Rings, Part 1, by J.R.R. Tolkien.
When Mr. Bilbo Baggins of Bag End announced that he would shortly be celebrating his 71st birthday with a party of special magnificence, there was much talk and excitement in Hobbiton. Bilbo was very rich and very peculiar, and had been the wonder of the Shire for 60 years, ever since his remarkable disappearance and unexpected return. The riches he had brought back from his travels had now become a local legend. There were some that shook their heads and thought this was too much of a good thing. It seemed unfair that anyone should possess apparently perpetual youth as well as, reputedly, inexhaustible wealth.
"'Twill have to be paid for,"
they said.
"Trouble will come of it."
But so far, trouble had not come, and most people were willing to forgive him his oddities and his good fortune. He had many devoted admirers, but no close friends until some of his younger cousins began to grow up. The eldest of these, and Bilbo's favorite, was young Frodo Baggins. When Bilbo was 99, he adopted Frodo as his heir and brought him to live at Bag End, and now it was understood that something quite exceptional was being planned for that autumn. Tongues began to wag in Hobbiton and Bywater, and no one had a more attentive audience than old Ham Gamgee, known as the Gaffer.
"Always said he's a very nice, well-spoken, gentle hobbit, is Mr. Bilbo, as I've always said. And Mr. Frodo's very much like Mr. Bilbo, and in more looks. After all, his father was a Baggins, yes. You see, Mr. Drogo Baggins, he married poor Miss Primula Brandybuck. She was our Mr. Bilbo's first cousin on the mother's side."
Oh yes, the youngest of old Took's daughters.
Well, you see, they were drowned, and poor Mr. Frodo was only a child. And Mr. Bilbo never did a kinder deed than when he brought back the lad to live among decent folk.
Is that so? Well, that's very interesting.
It was a nasty knock for those Sackville Bagginses. Yes, they thought they were going to get Baggins. They'll never see the inside of Baggins now.
There's a tidy bit of money tucked away up there. All the top of your hill is full of tunnels packed with chests of gold and silver and jewels, by what I've heard.
Then you heard more than I can speak to. Mr. Bilbo's free with his money, but I know of no tunnel making. I saw Mr. Bilbo when he came back. He had me helping him, and my lad Sam will know more about it. He's in and out of Bag End, listens to all Mr. Bilbo's tales. There's elves and dragons. Cabbages and potatoes are better for me and you. Don't go getting mixed up in the business of your betters, or you'll land in trouble too big for you, I says. But they do things proper at Bag End all the same. Our Sam says everyone's going to be invited to the party. There's to be presents, Mark. Presents for all.
That very month was September, as fine as you could ask. A day or two later, a rumor, probably started by the knowledgeable Sam, was spread that there were going to be fireworks such as had not been seen in the Shire for nigh on a century. An odd-looking wagon laden with odd-looking packages rolled into Hobbiton one evening and toiled up the hill to Bag End. It was driven by dwarves with long beards and deep hoods. Then a cart came in through Bywater from the direction of the Brandywine Bridge. An old man was driving it, all alone. He wore a tall, pointed blue hat,